Or certainly our brother this evening, he needs no introduction. But I do want to say that I have always admired him so much for his service and the years of dedication he's put into study and be able to carry the gospel forth to the world and his many missionary trips, but also his dedication here in this local and the many sermons that I've heard over the years. And now with age, he comes some of those difficulties that accompany it, as he has problems with his eyesight, as we know, and yet he still desires to serve to the fullest of his capacity, and I really admire him in that, and I know that he has taken the time, and he has taken very seriously this time that we have, and I would ask at this time that you lift him up in your prayers, and also ourselves, that we would hear the word that the Lord has given unto him to present to us this night. I give to you our brother and apostle, Don McAdoo.
Thank you, Glenn. Scared me to death. I greet you each. I'm happy to see you. I'm happy to see those that made the long journey up the Golden Valley back again. I can remember when that road was the most dangerous road in Arizona. Fortunately, it's not quite so bad anymore, and it's getting better all the time, because our brothers are traveling there all the time. I'm glad to see you each. This evening, I would like to have a short text. I'm not going to tell you where it is, because when you hear it, I'm sure that immediately you'll know exactly where it came from. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Yeah, you know where it is. The very first verse in the Gospel of John. And most of the scriptures we use tonight are going to come from the Gospel of John. It was, to me, an impressive gospel. More than any of the others, it gives a personification. It puts life in this image of Jesus Christ. It tells us about Him and His great love and His great power. I would like to ask Glenn if he will turn to chapter 1 of the Gospel of John and read verses 6 through 11.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Now John writes in verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe. That's the primary theme of John as he writes this gospel. That word, or some form of that word, is found 98 times in the book of John. Believe. That's what he's calling us to do. To believe on our Lord Jesus Christ. John was an old man when he wrote this book. That kind of challenges me. It's not for sure exactly when it was written. They will say that it was written between 80 and 95 A.D. So John was somewhere between his late 70s and late 80s when he wrote it. Hard to imagine. such a clear memory of his experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ. He certainly believed the words that he heard. He believed in the things that he saw. John was living in the city of Ephesus when he wrote this. Ephesus is a city, a port city, found at the end of a long river valley in what today would be the nation of Turkey. And John was somewhat upset, and many of the people in the church there were upset. And they implored him to write this gospel of Jesus Christ and his precious word and his works among the children of men. Why? Because heresies were coming into the church. There were a lot of them. In this time, some 50 years after the gospel was preached by Jesus Christ, men were coming into the gospel who were Gentiles. And living where they lived, that meant they were probably of Greek descent. And some of them were well educated in the knowledge, the history, the philosophy of the Greeks. They were, quote, believers, unquote. And some of them were teachers, and some of them even called to the ministry. But they did not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. Well, they were followers of Christ. Like all Christians today, followers of Christ. But they didn't believe in his divinity. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. They didn't believe that in the beginning he was the creator of these things we see around us. Heresy. That makes me, you know, as I found out about this problem in the church, reading the books of John, about them, reading the books of Paul, who was writing some 20 to 30 years before John was writing. But heresies, unbelievers in the divinity of Christ, could that be true today in Christendom? It certainly is. It is true. Christian churches around the world are filled with men and perhaps women who do not accept that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. He was there with God in the beginning, the creator of mankind. They don't accept that. These men were Greeks in the days of John, educated in the philosophy and in the history of the Greek writers. And they were deceived by it. And they were misled by it. And they made poor judgments. And that's true of people today. And so as we read about John, his writings, let's remember what his purpose was. In chapter 20, and we don't need to turn to it, in chapter 20, verse 30, 31 says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and they that believe in him," even they that believe through his name they shall have life. They shall have life eternal through his name because they believe in him. I'm going to now ask Glenn if he will turn to chapter 4 and read the beginning of a story that we're going to talk about in verses 5 through 15 in chapter 4 of John.
Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw.
Jesus continued to talk to her. And he was interested in her life. And he said, Woman, go and call thy husband and come hither. And the woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said, You've spoken well. Because you've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with now is not your husband. This Samaritan woman was rather startled. She perhaps tried to change the subject a little bit, and she said, The Messiah is coming. And he will teach us. Jesus responded to her, and she said, I that speak to thee am he. She was really startled. She returned into the city, and she met all the people along the way, all her friends and the people that she was acquainted with in the city, and she told them about this man at the well. She said, He knows everything about my life. She convinced them that something of vital importance was there. That here was a person who was completely different than anything they had ever seen or heard. Here was this man called Jesus. And so the multitude went back. They followed her back to the well. And I'm going to ask Glenn now if he'll read verses 39 to 43.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee.
2 days. You know, Jesus was teaching a great lesson. Not just to these Samaritans in the city who came to see him and believed in him. He was teaching a lesson to his disciples. His disciples were Jews, And they looked down upon the Samaritans. They looked down upon every Gentile. And they would not have spoken to her at all. And so 2 days they spent with him in a city of Samaritans, Gentiles, and saw the great love and the power of Jesus Christ. He showed them that all mankind is welcome. All mankind is loved by our Lord Jesus Christ and by our Father, God of heaven. He loves them all. And he wishes that we who are followers of him would reach out to them all. I praise my Lord that I have been able to live to see this day when our missionaries are being able to go out to places in the world that never heard of Jesus Christ and preach the gospel, the word of Christ. Oh, how important it is. How wonderfully important. Chapter 8 in the book of John now. And Glenn is going to read in this chapter verses 24 to 29.
I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not...
Jesus is speaking to Pharisees now who are around him. Excuse me, Glenn, go ahead and start that again.
I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do all those things that please him.
As he spake these words, many believed on him. Many of these Jewish people believed on him. And we read here in verse 30 and 31. Then saith Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Another wonderful lesson by Jesus Christ. If we continue in his word. I think about that, you know, we have a standard in the Church of Christ that we hold up before the world. That we don't just believe in him and be baptized and then go our way later or become discouraged or become busy and leave. We stay in our belief of him and our acceptance of him to the end of our life. Continue. But you know, I was thinking today, as Glenn was preaching, there's a different aspect. Continue, a verb. Continue in your life like this. I'd like to look at it as an adverb, describing the person who continues. That person is continuous. What does that mean? That has implications for our life. We don't just come here one Sunday morning and then maybe 2 or 3 weeks later come again. We are continuous. We continued week by week, Sunday by Sunday, Wednesday by Wednesday, continuously seeking after Jesus Christ and after his word. What an important lesson that is, that we continue in His name. We have the promise of being the sons and the daughters of God. That's something special. Something indeed quite special. We're going to go now to chapter 9. And it's the beginning of a story about Jesus and His ministry. And I'd like to have Glenn read verses 1 through 12 in this story.
And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is the day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by the interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not.
They took him to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees began to question him, began to ask him questions about who he was and what happened to him. And he told them that same story. He told his friends and his neighbors how this man named Jesus had made a sticky, muddy clay and put over his eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool. What did the Pharisees think, first of all? This is the Sabbath day. That man broke the laws of the Sabbath. And they began to tell this man, that man is a sinner. You don't worship him or follow after him. He's a sinner. The man answered them. And down in verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But this I know, whereas I was blind, now I can see. That he knew. Well, the Pharisees ridiculed him and reviled him some more. They told him he was a sinner. He'd been a sinner all his life, and they degraded him, and they cast him out into the street. And that's when Jesus sought him again. So, Glenn is going to read now in chapter 9, verses 35 through 38.
Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him.
Another lesson for the world, for His disciples. Jesus showed us here in this story His great love and mercy for the sick, the afflicted, the blind, the poor, the common man like us. His great power and love reached out, performed a miracle for which we pray. We recognize Jesus Christ. We recognize God Almighty as a worker of miracles in our lives. And we do pray for our brothers and sisters who are sorely afflicted, sometimes in ways that doctors can't help, that medicine can't help. And we hold them up in our prayers every day. Do you have a list of people you pray for? How many people do you pray for each day that are suffering from cancer? Marlene Shirley, we know her. Marlene Cobb in Missouri, some of us know her well. Some of us related to her. But there are so many others. We need to be holding them up. They need the miraculous power of God in their lives. And when the church people scattered abroad on the face of the land are holding them up in prayers, God does hear. And He works the same kind of miracles today that Jesus did there on the street of Jerusalem. I'm going to ask now that our brother Glenn will read in John the 10th chapter a few verses, and I'd like to talk about those few verses just a little bit. Verses 14 to 18 in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John.
I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
Other sheep I have that are not of this fold in Jerusalem and Israel. Familiar verse to us, is it? 3 Nephi, chapter 7. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold in the new world. Other sheep. You know, these words of Jesus Christ show a spotlight on the prophecy of Zenos. The third chapter of Jacob shines out like a light to inform the world what he was talking about. Zenos was a prophet. And he spoke to the house of Israel. He was a prophet back in the days before Israel was carried away into captivity. We remember the parable of Zenos in Jacob chapter 3. He told of four groups of people. Four groups of people who lived in Israel. Groups of Israelites. And he took one group and he settled them in a distant land. And it was a poor place to grow up and be transplanted. And he took another group and he put them in another land that was even poorer than the first. And then the parable tells us of a third group that he took. And a fourth group. And the fourth group are the people of Lehi that he brought to America. Since there was nothing ever mentioned about that third group again, I've always assumed that perhaps it talked about the people of Zarahemla. Muloch, the son of King Zedekiah. And the Jewish people that left with him and went to Egypt and then sailed across the Atlantic Ocean and came here to America. And the two groups were blended into one. But that first group and that second group, I have no idea where they were, where he took them. But we know because of his words that we just read here in John and the words that we read in 3 Nephi that Jesus went to visit them. And I'm positive, since Jesus has the same gospel and the same word and the same teachings, I'm positive he told them, like he told the people here in America, to keep a record of these things. I'm hoping, praying someday another record will be found, telling the same story we read in the New Testament and we read in the Book of Mormon. Oh, how it would stagger the minds of men and women in our world today. How few of them would accept it and believe it. But how it would support and strengthen those of us who believe. God had a plan. God had a plan for the people of Israel that they not all be destroyed. That there be remnants in different parts of the world. And I pray. Maybe some of you would like to pray. I pray that our brothers and sisters who travel in foreign lands, in Asia, in Africa, Latin America, that they will find, though they may never recognize them, they will carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to remnants of these people who the Lord transplanted in different parts of his vineyard, that they might hear once again, even as the Maya heard once again, the gospel of Jesus Christ, preached in its fullness and its beauty, and how they accepted it and came into it. What a wonderful blessing that would be. We're going to read another story now in the 11th chapter of John. In this story, Jesus and his disciples were off in Samaria. Jerusalem was too dangerous. And then he got a letter from a beloved sister named Mary. And she told him that his good friend, his dear friend, Lazarus, her brother, was sick. Needed his help. Jesus didn't say a thing or move for 2 days. And I'm sure he had a plan. I'm sure it wasn't anything but his great love and desire to do the will of God. And he told his disciples, "We must go down to Bethany. Lazarus is sick, and Mary and Martha need our help." And so they made the journey back to Jerusalem. We know the beautiful story as he came into Jerusalem and the people threw down leaves and before him and flowers and followed him along the way. Martha heard of it. She went out to meet him on the way. And so now in chapter 11, I'm going to ask Glenn if he will. Now, I'm not going to ask him to do it just yet. I got something that I want to read to you. Jesus met Martha when she met him on the way. And he knew what had happened. He knew Lazarus had passed away. He was laid to rest. And he said to her, he said, "Thy brother shall rise again." thy brother shall rise again. And she believed in the resurrection, and she said, yes, I know when the day of resurrection comes, he'll be revived and resurrected. And Jesus told her, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he be dead, shall live again. Now, I'm going to ask Brother Glenn if he will continue in this story, and he will read verses in chapter 11. He'll read verses 33 to 45.
And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him.
Can't you just see those people who doubted in the deity of Jesus Christ? Now believed. What a wonderful example of his godlike qualities. The Son of God that works miracles in the lives of people, things that we can hardly imagine. And yet we do believe, and we believe in his deity. And we're not going to be fooled by people who do not. If you go to Barnes and Noble and look for Christian books, there are going to be shelves and shelves of them. Books written by Christian authors. And some of them are authors who do not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, anytime you read something that speaks out against the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the truthfulness of some of the words that he taught clearly, you need to turn to the Word of God. You need to study it. You need to think about it. You need to continuously have it a part of your life. Not just occasionally. It's with you always to guide, direct your thinking, help you understand the voices that are speaking out against him. You have a wonderful opportunity to learn about the things that are written, negative things about the things we believe. Look at the current edition of The Advocate. Read the article by our brother Joel. History and faith. When we read history, whether it's history of the Restoration or history of the gospel of Christ, there are going to be so many things that are thrown in there to confuse us, to cause us to doubt, to wonder. We must always be careful. We must always be built upon, founded upon those precious words in the Holy Bible and the Book of Mormon. This is where there is life. This is where there is promise. This is where there is miraculous cleansing, healing power. Out there in the world, it doesn't exist. In the 13th chapter of John, Jesus gives a new commandment. A new commandment to his disciples. Verses 34 and 35 say, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." This is the clue that he gives us. And when I say love one another, we've got to remember what Jesus said, "As I have loved you." Think about the love and the power of the Lord's displayed upon his people. And he has over the years and the centuries. That's the kind of love. Christian love, what's it called? Christian love is called charity. Our brother Joel spoke about that in a sermon. And he gave us good scriptures to read and to think about. A good description of charity. I'm going to ask Brother Glenn if he will read that description in Moroni chapter 7, verses 50 to 53.
And if a man may be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, you are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen.
The first part of this reading we find also in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That description of charity. But Moroni goes on follow. He tells us what we need to do to have this charity, of this love of Jesus Christ. Pray fervently to God Almighty that he will give you that charity. Because it's not something common to mankind. Pray to God daily that he will fill you with that love of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing the gospel, the word of our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you.